could the Pirates bullpen be a sleeper bullpen for 2023? Good morning, and welcome to the Pirates Podcast, to be named later, here on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcast Network. My name is Alex Stumpf. On Thursday, the Pirates had a corporate sponsor event at PNC Park that they brought a couple players in for, and the media was also made available for them. Got to have a couple good one-on-one conversations with JT Brubaker, Chase DeYoung, Colin Holderman, and Mike Burrows. You've seen a lot of it already in the Friday Insider. If you didn't, you know, go check it out. That's where most of the good, juicy stuff is. But I want to take a couple things here instead of, you know, writing them out like this is probably best for podcasts where you could actually hear, you know, some of these players articulate. I think it might turn out better than if it was just typed out as a quote. So that's what we're going to do today. The first is on the Pirates bullpen, which I think it's hard to assess last year's bullpen for a couple reasons. One is they just had so many people go through. It was just a real rotating. It just keeps going and going and going. And we all know about how the Pirates almost set the record for most players used in a season. They came one player away. And how many of those players were relief pitchers? So whenever you look at the overall season stats, they're not good. They're not good, but if you want to look individually, there were some bright spots. David Bednar was an all-star. Will Crow and Chase DeYoung were two guys who kind of took to being good middle relievers. End of the year, the back of the baseball card gets, you know, less flattering because they were put in higher leverage roles. They're at the end of a long work season. I think if you watched Pirates baseball in 2022, you knew Will Crow and Chase DeYoung were better than their season ERAs. Like, they provided more than that. And then you got a couple young players like Holderman, like Yerry De Los Santos, a couple guys who came in, like Robert Stevenson. Colin Selby is added to the 40-man roster. Like, look, there are a lot of ifs here. But there's some potential here. I talked to Chase DeYoung about that. Here's what he had to say. Buckle up. This is a minute and a half, a quote right here. Just him giving the State of the Union with the bullpen. And reflecting on it, I can't argue with anything that he really says here.
Whenever you look at this bullpen, I mean, I think Renegade's got to get the ninth inning for a lot of these times. But like, there's a lot of leverage opportunity around here. Like, there are good pitchers around here. Like, how much of it is let's just go with this?
I think the only thing our bullpen lacks is experience, and you can only get that by going out and playing the game. I think that guy's going to play a huge role for our bullpen this year. He stays healthy, and his ability to throw the ball and the different pitches he throws is going to be a huge asset to our team. Getting the ball to a healthy David Bednar in the ninth is going to be just, you know, our games are going to be an inning shorter because of how much I believe in him. I think the pickup of Bob Stevenson, I think he's got nasty stuff. And I know just in hanging out with him the last couple months of the season, he likes it here. And, you know, our group that we have down there, like, we got really good guys. You get a De Los Santos back. I mean, he's got the lowest resting heart rate of anybody I've ever played with. And, you know, then you got guys like, you know, me and Will Crow that are going to be out there for, you know, multiples. And we're going to help get the ball to those guys. And, you know, if we're called upon late, you know, we can do that too. So I love the state of our bullpen. I love where we're at. I love those guys. And like I just said, I'll go to war with those guys any day.
That's the best case scenario. We all recognize that. And there are a couple things that have to go right there. Bednar needs to stay healthy. That's a big part of it, because if he can, I think we all saw last year whenever he started to – the back started to get cranky and the results started to dip a little bit was around that Tampa Bay series. But for the first 2.5 months, he was as good a relief pitcher as there was in baseball. I'll stand by that. He was an all-star for a reason. A lot of eight-inning games, as DeYoung said. And yeah, there are some good young pitchers. And yeah, maybe it's just you need experience. And a couple of the more experienced guys like Stevenson, maybe they could step up and be a bigger role. You could also add to the group. I mean, there is a very glaring hole here at the moment that there is no left-handed pitcher on this roster. That 100% needs to change. I don't buy that you need to have, you know, a left-handed starter in the rotation, but you definitely need him in the bullpen. You definitely need a left-handed pitcher or two there. Needs addressed there. Pirates are looking for more swing and miss. They haven't really gotten a lot so far. So there are some areas where they could add to that bullpen, but just the overall bones, the core that they kind of have, it's Colin Holderman, who I guess I should have mentioned that whenever DeYoung said he's going to have a big year, he was referring to Holderman, who was just a, you know, a couple feet down in the clubhouse. So there's one. There's De Los Santos, who ERA got shot up because of one inning whenever his shoulder wasn't exactly cooperating. And it ended his season early, so there's potential there. There's a lot of if Will Crow and Chase DeYoung pitch like they did for the first 5 months over the whole year, maybe they get a few more leverage innings and they don't stumble in those spots, then yeah, there are ways that these could be 7-8 inning games, and that's how a young team wins. That's how teams that maybe aren't the most talented roster-wise steal wins. Because we saw the exact opposite this past year, whenever everyone was hurt, and there was, you know, only like one or two guys who've really been on the team all year left in that bullpen, because everyone's on IL, and it's so many waiver claims, how losing those games like that game in New York. And that, I keep going back to that one game because that was probably the most gobsmacked I was all year of like, oh man, they actually lost that game. And it wasn't all Will Crow's fault. It wasn't all Will Crow's fault because there was just a whole lot of piecing together of like, we got to somehow get to that ninth inning. If they're going to be doing that over the course of 2023, then yeah, I don't know how much better they could actually be. But if they take a step forward as a bullpen, if they could get a couple of these guys to really show up and be leverage pitchers, that's something this team didn't have last year. Outside of Bednar, who is the best leverage pitcher on this team? Was it Stratton? Probably not. Could it have possibly been Robert Stevenson over a month and a half? Holderman only got a handful of outings. I mean, he might be like the seventh inning guy next year, but he didn't really have that large a sample size. They just didn't have leverage pitchers, and they've got to find them. And internally, I think they do have some options that they could improve. They could get a couple of those internal options to become leverage arms. I'll say again, supplementing that group would go a long way. Because if it's a 8-inning game with a healthy David Bednar in there, it could be a 7-inning game with a legitimate setup man. How many times did the 13-15 Pittsburgh Pirates win games that they weren't supposed to because it was a 7-inning game? And they just had Melanson, Grilly, and Watson back there. I think this bullpen has some potential if they stay healthy and one or two pitchers emerge to go along with Bednar. I see a lot of good middle relief options at the moment, and those you got to prove yourself there most times before you get the leverage spots. They're going to need some leverage innings. They got some options on the roster. It's going to be interesting. I think that's going to be an interesting position starting in Bradenton. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to the Pirates Podcast, to be named later, here on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. So, I played the Chase Young clip in the first segment. This one is shorter from Colin Holderman, who is doing some work this offseason on how to actually protect the shoulder. He's doing really diving into the science, really diving in the mechanics of what he should be doing here, when he should open up, how far back should he go. It's interesting. I didn't get the whole, you know, scoop into it. It might end up being a mound visit down the road. I think that would be interesting. But what does better for this for him, I think, is just this, how we close the, you know, recorder on portion of our conversation. And it was maybe something that you might be like, okay, that's just what a player should say. But it's the type of talk that I think this organization needs more. Here he is. I'm going to just let the clip play for itself.
I'm excited. I think, you know, we're going to make a run at this thing in 23. So everybody needs to watch out, especially in NL Central. You know, we're going to go after it.
I was going to say, what constitutes a run here? Or would eyeball in Central, or?
I want it all. I'm always going to go for it all. You know, it's only one team to take it home, so you know it's going to be hard. But yeah, I want to win it every single year. That's my mentality. And so, you know, I want to win.
I can't tell you how many times last year the conversations really centered around, we want to get better. We want to learn. We're going to try to get better every day. We've got a young group. We've got a... I heard that a lot. You read it a lot last year. Because that's... I wasn't, you know, circling for those types of quotes, but that's just what was presented. And I don't hold, you know, this undying belief that the 2023 Pittsburgh Pirates are going to be a playoff team or a contender, or as they're currently constructed, even 500. But I like the attitude shift that we're getting from a lot of these players. There is a lot of no more just like trying to get better as a group or anything. And they're like, no, we're actually going to compete. And compete can mean a lot of things. Compete could mean going out and trying to win the division, trying to win a World Series. And I get that. And no, I don't think they're there right now. But compete could also mean you're going out there and you're going to give the other team 9 good innings. And I think the 23 Pirates could take a step forward. And the reason why I say that is because I've heard it so damn much from different players. From whenever I went down to Arizona, those guys there are like, hey, we're not coming up to lose. Like, we're coming up to compete, to win. Young players in the major leagues. What Holderman just said. DeYoung said something similar. Like, it's Brubaker, you know, he also said something similar. Like, I put the Holderman quote in there because I think it's the best one out of the bunch. But there you go. There's a belief. Because at the end of the year, I wrote it up. Those guys were clamoring, like, give us some players. Give us some players of what we need. Help us, you know, take a step forward in 23. So far, Choi and Santana, good start. Winter meetings, they could pick up some more. I think it's not really a well-kept secret that Roberto Perez might be coming back. There's only one catcher on the roster right now, and it's Andy Rodriguez, who doesn't have any major league experience. They're going to add someone to that major league roster, probably sooner rather than later. pitching. I did the Friday Insider on that. They're looking at pitching. They're looking at pitching that, yeah, it's a reclamation project, but most of the reclamating might already been done. Reclamating, is that the right word? Is that a word? I feel like I'm doing my own glass onion moment there. It's encouraging to hear, if for nothing else, than just it's less submissive talk. It's less, well, we're just trying to get better. Look, after losing 100 games 2 years in a row and being on a 100 loss pace in 2020, changing the vernacular, changing the attitude around a little, where it's not just we're trying to get better to, well, let's go out there. Let's go out there. Let's try to compete. Let's try to win. And yeah, I know. They always were trying to win. I don't want to imply that they weren't, you know, in that clubhouse, because they were grinding. They didn't want to lose 100. Did you see how hard they played at the end of last season? How they went on a much better stretch those final couple series trying to avoid that 100 against a good team in the Cardinals? It just didn't work out. But they showed that they could take a step, they can grind a little bit there. Maybe that carries over into 23. I don't expect this team to even finish 500 next year. But I think they could take a step forward. And not just one game improvement, but 70-ish wins? 70-something? If you don't hit 70 at this point, like it's a fair point to wonder, like, okay, where is everything right now? What needs to be done? And these guys aren't saying 70. They're not, again, conversations with players in the majors, players in the minors who have got to come up. They're not, those prospects aren't coming up to lose. And so far, this offseason, there's actually been legitimate investment into the 2023 club. And the rebuild is, in their eyes, hopefully close to being over. It's why Brian Reynolds is, still in this, well, we're not really looking that hard to trade him. You have to overwhelm. We're not making the calls because they know or they feel that in those 3 years they can win. And yeah, they would still need to take a good couple steps in 23 to do it. And I can't stress enough, my personal feelings aren't the same ones that the players have in there. And that's what really matters. They might not be the best team, but we just saw it with that Phillies team. That Phillies team was not even close to the best team in the National League, but they rolled through those playoffs because they were too stupid not to know that they weren't a good team. There is that, that advantage that comes from blissful ignorance sometimes. So, I don't know. I think that's, I know it's not the first time I've said it this offseason, but I'm going to say it again because I keep getting the same quotes from different people, and there's a little fire in the belly every single time they say it. It's not just lip service. It's not just, we'll try to get better. It's, no, we're going to actually go out and win. That would go a long way in 23. We got a little show left. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Pirates Podcast, to be named later. I'm going to finish off here with just a little more here on Chase DeYoung because it was a really good long conversation that we had. Chase is always a really good guy to pick his brain. He's been doing a lot. right this offseason to try to make himself more into a leverage. I talked about how the Pirates need a couple of leverage guys. This offseason, he said he's been calling everyone who's done that role. He's trying to figure out, like, how do you do this? How do you do that? What's the right mentality? What's your mentality? How do I – he's picking brains more, because this is the first time in his career that he's actually had a little job security that he could do something like this. He knows what his role is going to be. He's not going to be a minor league free agent trying to once again, you know, burst onto the scene as a fifth starter midseason. So I think he's someone that, with a whole offseason, knowing how he prepares, knowing how he studies, and what he, you know, led on to me, like what he's been doing, the conversations he's been having, I think this is interesting. I think he's interesting. I mean, he's got a big Rolodex of players that he could, you know, pull from, because he bounced around for years, but he's got a little bit of job security. It's a little bit of a weight off of the shoulders, and we're going to see what happens with him in 23. I wouldn't be shocked if he goes from, I mean, we saw him try to pitch the ninth, and it didn't go that well last year towards the end of the season. I want to see what happens this time around. Maybe it's a hybrid type of thing where he can pitch the seventh or eighth. Maybe it's, you know, just a regular hybrid thing where he's going the sixth and seventh or fifth and sixth early in the year. There's a couple different ways that this could go. This guy is the guy I really want to keep an eye on in Bradenton next year. There's some intriguing guys, but he's the guy that I think I am most intrigued out of, like the returning guys who could maybe take that leap into the leverage role. Just the final thoughts. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe wherever you find fine podcasts. This one will be here too. And get all the shows that we have here to offer here on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to keep up with all the winter meetings and news that's going to be coming up this week. It's going to be a busy week for me. We'll talk about that next week.